it's your boy TBC on the Jokes and Jocks podcast with my co-host
G-Hey Wiley, your favorite Blasian.
Oh yeah, and we got a special guest today coming live from the Bay Area, my partner, the very talented, the very entrepreneurial, one of the hardest workers in the game, Hit Up Slim. What's good, baby?
Come on, I'm in here, man. I'm happy to be here, and I appreciate you having me, my good brother.
You got it, man. You got it. We overdue, man. I appreciate you coming on the show. So what's popping with you, man? I know you've been, every time I get on Instagram, man, I see a new video, a new project you working on, man. Tell us a little bit about what you got going on right now, because it seems like a lot.
I try to stay active, TBC, and I appreciate the love, man. I try to drop consistently because, you know, the time has changed now, bro, where, you know, people don't ride to an album for 6-7 months no more. I mean, they will, but they also always want fresh content. So now, you know, I'm real one-on-one, and I drop my music on an intimate level where I really focus on my direct listeners and my fans that really rock with me. So I just do my part to just keep them with something fresh, something new to listen to, just trying to get somebody through their day. You know what I mean?
I feel it, man. I feel it. And so you've been, you've been rapping since what? Since high school, right? So
this has kind of
like an evolution to this point, right?
I mean, for sure, because I professionally started rapping, of course, once I was out of high school. I got a record deal right out of high school. And I've had my transitions in the game and went to DJing. I stopped rapping for a while, went to DJing, back to rapping. I've been behind the scenes working with other artists and then once I found another sweet spot where I was actually having fun with the music again, then I dialed back in and got back on the microphone.
Word. So you was originally signed with SIBO and AWOL Records, right?
Yes, sir. That's where I got my first record deal, was AWOL Records and SIBO. Yeah.
Shout out to SIBO. And then did you go independent after that, or did you sign immediately with Sick With It Records and E-40 and them?
Yeah, after AWOL, I went independent for a while, and I was just, you know, trying to figure it out. That label went down, so, you know, just coming out of that, I was just trying to figure it out, trying to just find my ropes and trying to figure out, you know, what direction to go in, because I was still real young and, you know, trying to figure it all out. So I went independent for a while and was just dropping music with, you know, my fellow artists, you know, RIP to Jack. I was rocking with the Jack and the rest of the Mind Figures and, you know, all the homies that was on the that I was affiliated with. So I was just trying to figure it out. And then as I was doing that, I started getting a buzz in the street. And then I ended up getting a record that was on KMEL. It was called Tycoonin', you know, and that featured Keek the Sneak and the Federation. So from that, I reached out to through Muggsy. Shout out Young Muggsy. I reached out to Muggsy and asked him if I can get E-40 on the remix. And, you know, when I did that, 40 reached back, and not only did he get on the record, but he was like, hey, man, you know what I'm saying? I like what you're doing. You know, we should do some business together, you know?
Wow. What a great look, man. So this is what? Was this all within the last, like, 5-10 years?
No. I mean, it's been longer than that. I've been rocking with Sick With It. Because, see, I was already strongly affiliated to Sick With It because the owner of AWOL, which is Freddie T. Smith and E-40, they're actually first cousins.
Oh wow. Okay. Family business.
Yeah, so you know what I'm saying? They actually first cousins. So it was, you know, already an automatic connection. You know what I mean?
I got it.
Slim, just really quick question, because I know you guys, you know, you and TBC go way back, and, you know, we just met today, but what made you want to start? Because, like, some people, when they start their hip hop career, like, they start either really, really early or really, really late. You started, like, right at the sweet spot. What made you want to start you know, this particular career, you know, in music and hip hop?
I just had a love for it. I was into artists like DJ Quick and, you know, I was into artists like Tretch from Naughty by Nature, and, you know, of course, the Tupacs and, you know, Nas. And I just, you know, I love the essence of rap. And then, and not only that, so I used to feel like, well, damn, I know these dudes rap. I felt like I knew some of their raps better than them. Mm. You know, so as I was, you know, reciting all their raps and stuff like that, you know, we should do our own, make our own song. And, you know, in my eyes, it wasn't possible to do that. So I was like, wait, how do we do that? And he was like, man, let's write a rap. And so I wrote my first rap and I just fell in love with the game. You know, it wasn't really my intention to be a rapper, but once I wrote my first rap, I was in love.
Mm. And was you doing like high school talent shows and like performing locally in Richmond?
I wasn't ready for that. I was a little too shy to really just come out and say I was a full-fledged rapper, you know, because I started, you know, I was in high school when I was rapping, but I wasn't ready to, you know, announce, hey, I'm a rapper. And, I was going to the rallies and watching the artists go up there and jump. I was motivated by it, but I wasn't ready to get up there and do stuff.
Mm, okay. And then how did that all went down with Tebow? How did they discover you? How did AWOL?
So I got discovered. So my big bro out of Richmond, his name is Tay Miles. He goes by Stay Ready. We were running together from kids, and he ended up getting caught up in some legal trouble, and he caught a bid. So they sentenced my brother like 14 years. We was teenagers. I was like, what the fuck? You know what I'm saying? So he got some serious time. So when he got that time, they sent it to the penitentiary. Now, just so happened, the owner, the CEO of AWOL, his name was Freddie T. Smith. He was also in the penitentiary serving some time. So my bro ended up getting in some type of scuffle or altercation and ended up going to the hole with a few of his, homies. So they in the hole and they rapping back and forth like from cell to cell. But my brother didn't really rap. He just knew all my raps that I used to say around the neighborhood. So he was in there rapping my raps. And the CEO of AWOL was in like the cell next to him, like, hey bro, that's kind of tight. And then, you know, my brothers kept it 100, like, hey, look, right on, bro. But you know, if you really want that and want to know where that came from, tap in with my folks, you know, outside. So then Freddie T reached out to the homie, shout out Marshall Tubbs, Big V. He reached out to Big V and told Big V to hit me up. So when I came home one day, you know, life is real regular for me. I'm just a kid trying to make it. You know what I'm saying? I was going through all kind of shit. And I still never forget. I had just broke up with my girl at the time. I came home. I was hella mad, all type of shit. And I walked in the house and my mom is like, yeah, son, you got a call from, she said A1 Records, because I guess she must have misheard what they said when they said AWOL. But she's like, you know, because, you know, back then you had to take a message for somebody, you know what I'm saying? They didn't have no voicemails, you know. You know what it is. You got to take a message. So I look at the piece of paper saying A1 Records. Now, listen, I'm just looking at my mama like, why is she playing with me? Ain't no record company calling me, because I hadn't talked to my bro because he was in the hole. So it's not like he gave me a heads up, like, hey, bro, I connected you. So I called a number back and they like, AWOL, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, and you know, my big cousins was listening to SIBO and, you know, all the, so I came up hearing it. I was a youngster, but I knew about it because my big cousins were slapping it. So I'm like, what the hell going on? So then they like, you know, yeah, some people speaking up for you, you know, inside. So I put two and two together and I was like, damn. So he was like, man, can you rap for me on the phone? Now, mind you, when I was on the, you know, I was doing my thing. I was paying like my little $5, $10 rent studio time, getting my little demo tapes and all that. So it was fortunate that from a youngster, I still already believed in myself and was spending my couple dollars out of my pocket to rent studio time. So I had a tape to play. He was like, can you play some music? Had something to play for him. So I put it to the speaker, play some music to him. And he was like, let me hear you rap something right now. I rapped to him on the phone. He was like, man, you signed. Send me somewhere. He was like, you got a fax number? He was like, you got a fax number to send this contract? So I had him fax it to Kinko's. I'm in Kinko's waiting, sitting up in there. Man, them papers came through. I was like, bro, I'm done with everything. You know what I mean?
Wow.
Man, that is a deep story. That's crazy.
Yeah, that's just how it happens. It's just like, you know, it's what are the chances? You know what I'm saying?
I mean, everybody has to have it. It only takes one person to have faith in you, you see, you know, and then, you know, you can skyrocket from that. That's incredible. Sure.
So was the Mob Figures and Jacka, Hustler, and all those guys, Ryder, was they signed
at that time,
or were they not there yet?
They wasn't there yet. So when I signed, you know, when I got to AWOL, the only person that was on the label was Looney Colleone. He went by Lunacy back then. Yep. So I come to the label and I'm like, he the only person there. And he was still a new artist too. And I'm like, you know, I was kind of shocked. Like, you know, the first day I signed, they had me in the studio and I'm like, where's Sebo at? Where, you know, I'm looking at where everybody at. But Sebo was still incarcerated at the time. Everybody else was like off the label at the time. So there was no other artist there. It was just me and Lunacy. So I'm like, okay. I'm like, fuck it. I got an opportunity. Let's go.
Right.
And it went like that. And then next thing you know, everybody else came on board. And with the Mob Figures, they came later on in the process. And when they came, we discovered them at the Seafood Festival in Pittsburgh. You know what I mean? Because they came up, we were, you know, the AWOL crew, we would go up there, you know, and when we went up there, like, I remember myself seeing Ryder, J. Clyde, and AP9. They, like, came up to us and was like, hey, you know, they were showing love and all everything. And they were saying, hey, you know, yeah, we, you know, they wasn't even the Mob Figures yet. They was just rappers trying to get on. One of my homies from Seattle, my boy Mike, he took notice to him. Like, they were some fly youngsters, though. They caught my eye, and I was like, okay, what's up? Yeah, you know. But I kept it moving. I didn't engage like that, but my partner Mike did. And Mike took their tape. Once again, them dudes had a cassette tape. They had something to hand over. So we met them. We kept it moving. We went back for the next week or so. My boy Mike was riding around listening to their tape. So I hop in with him and he'd be, bro, these dudes hard, bro. And I was kind of like, yeah, you know, whatever. You know, I was a youngster. I was in competition. I was like, bro, I ain't really, you know, yeah, that's cool. But he was stuck on them. You feel me? My boy Mike was stuck on them. So I was like, okay. So Mike took them to the label. I mean, he took the tape to the label and was like, man, these dudes is hard. Now, mind you, this was like 97, 98, you know what I'm saying? It's like 98, I would say. And you know, I can't just pass away. And, you know, Sebo loved Tupac, and Tupac loved Sebo. So, you know, he was kind of like, you know, he wanted to carry on the movement, like, but how he had Outlaw.
Shoot, I think we lost him.
Okay.
It's okay. Here he comes back.
Oh, yeah, I don't know. I'm here, though.
Yeah, nope. We got you.
You're good.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So Bo was kind of looking for like a crew, you know what I'm saying? Like a young homies up under him, Outlaws. And they brought Mike brought the Mob Figures to the table, and you know, AWOL at the time, it was already hella rappers. It was Killer Tay, Marvelous, Pito, Probable Cause, myself. C was hella arts. AWOL friends like, man. And this was my youngster, so he like, bro, I'm not taking no more artists. So anyway, so one day Sebo had a session. He brought all the figures to the studio. They wasn't the Mob Figures yet. So they was in there like they was trying out to be rappers, like, you know what I'm saying? So they was like almost battle rapping each other, like I'm making it type shit. You feel me?
Yeah.
And they all in the booth. And I just remember Sebo being like, y'all the Mob Figures. And from then it was like, you know, my, and he was like, well, I signed him to my shit. So, you know, that's what he did. You know, wow. The rest was history. They became the mind figures.
Yeah, man. I mean, I remember that the late 90s, bro. I mean, I was just getting into college. I was at Berkeley. And I remember back then I used to go to Rasputin and on Telegraph. And I would go in there. I would cop like 20 CDs like every time I would go in there. All Bay Area music. And, you know, I was like when I was at Cal, it was only so many guys even from the Bay. It was a lot of L.A. dudes. So I was in the locker room like slapping all Bay Area. Like, you, 40, you know, whoever, RBL, you name it, right? And then it was like, then I just started discovering new artists. And I remember just the Mob Figures was like, you know, because with football, hip hop and football go hand in hand. And, you know, it was like that gangster shit. So it was like, for me, it got me into that mentality that helped me, I feel like, get ready for games and have that mentality to go out there and literally try to kill somebody on the football field. So it was like,
sure.
You know, so, you know, fast forward, and when I finally started to meet y'all, man, I met Jack, I met you, I met, you know, Huss, I met everybody. I met Sebo at an airport one time in Vegas, but it was just like full circle, man, because, you know, once I retired, even before I retired, I started rapping and being able to work with y'all, man. I was like, wow, I'm working out with, you know, I'm doing music with these dudes that literally like kind of raised me. You know, in my teenage days, man, but they was really around the same age as me. So that was crazy, man. And with Jack, you know, I know y'all was on the label together, but then later on down the line, y'all started collabing on collaboration albums. How did that all get going?
So after AWOL shut down, I went and opened up a facility. I had a studio in Richmond because, you know, it was, you know, so it was like, you know, I felt like I was trying to get studio time and for a minute at first and all that, but you know how that go. And then eventually I realized like the best thing to do is my own headquarters. So with the label going down, we all was kind of like confused. You know, my figure, they deal situation went down. Everything kind of went down. So Jack, you know, and I had a strong relationship with all the figures. So they was just like my dogs. So, yeah. So Jack would always just come to the studio and just hang out. We wasn't even on no music shit. It was just like we was playing Madden and, you know, blowing tree and just kicking it. It was never really about, we was all just trying to figure it out. We had the studio right there, but we never tripped on it. And then I just remember we were still doing songs every now and then. So I was getting him on shit and he was getting me on shit. We was doing shit. And then I just remember Shorty All Over Me popped off. Shorty All Over Me popped off. And it was just starting to kick off because Jack was a natural talent, so he always kept something rocking. But then I remember it was one day we was in the studio and like I would come to the studio and Jack would already be there. I wouldn't even. And when like he was already there with tracks, making beats, doing his thing, you know what I'm saying? And when I came in there, Tracks was in there making 20 bricks on the spot, and Jack was already there.
Tracks A Million or Tracks FDR?
Tracks FDR. Tracks from the Rich was my main producer, you know what I'm saying? That, you know, I started rocking with from day one, especially when I left AWOL. It was like Tracks. I came, you know, Tracks FDR, and was like, bro, like, I need a producer, I need you there, you know what I'm saying? Whoop, whoop, whoop. He was a youngster coming up. He was looking for an opportunity. He was like, bro, I'm with you. He's been rocking with me ever since. But anyway, like I said, yeah, for sure. But like I said, like when I came in there, Jack was already in there. We chilling, we kicking it. He was like, man, bro, we be up in here, bro. We got to start making some music too. And I was like, nah, you right, for sure. So I told Tracks, when 20 Bricks, when he was making it, I was like, you know, bro, turn that off. Play some shit you already got. And Jack was like, what? Is you crazy? This song is sick. He was like, bro, let's start with this one right here. So that's how that came about. He did that. So we made 20 Bricks. And then right after we made 20 Bricks, Shorty All Over Me started popping on the radio not long after.
Was that a Jeffro beat or that's Trax FDR beat?
Shorty All Over Me?
Yeah.
I think that was Jeffro. I think okay. Jeffro made that. I can't remember who made that. I think that was Jeffro.
I think it's Jeffro.
But that song just started popping on the radio. So we all like, damn. You know what I'm saying? Bruh started taking off. And this is what's rare about solid individuals. Bro was so solid that once records started taking off, he was like, bro, we should do a whole album. And I'm looking like, nigga, you want to do an album with me? You taking off. Like, you know what I'm saying? And he was like, nah, bro, now we should do a whole album. So I was like, damn. And then bro started getting hella shows and he just took me. He was just like, man, come to everything. So every time I came, we would do 20 bricks. He would bring me out. And bro was just jamming like that, carrying out the material things. He really just went to see his dog shine, bro. He was a very different individual, bro.
Yeah,
bro never cared about the diamonds, and chains, and cars, and none of that. He didn't care about it, bro. He would give you his last dollar. He just genuinely didn't care. You know, I mean, you know, it just didn't mean nothing to him. It didn't mean more than friendship to him. The material things didn't mean that. And I realized, man, how many people want to clutch onto you and want to work with you when they on the down, when they falling off, or when they on their way out, and they, hey, bro, you still do? But you know how I go. Bro was like, let's do this while I'm on the up. And he did. He brought me in. And I had a record called Put Me On with the homie Matt Black. That came about after one of the shows we did. After one of the shows, he had a show, let me open up. After the show, he was like, he introduced me to Matt Black and was like, bro, Matt Black, bro. He was like, bro, do a song with him. Like, this nigga gave me a formula that he just was winning off of. And was like, bro, do a song with him. So I did a song, and then you had Put Me On. Next thing you know, the same stages that I, we was booked on the same shows. And I remember backstage him being like, bro, you did the right shit with this shit, bro.
Man, I miss that dude, man.
So, you know, yeah, man. RP to Jack, man. You know, Jack loved you too, bro. I believe that's how we met. Like, I remember us meeting like in the city, and he was like, bro, this is my nigga. And he was talking about you, bro. And I believe I kind of remember it vaguely, but I think we was in the city at what was that club? It was on like, was it Club Hype or something like that? It was on like Mission. It was in the city though. But that's the first time I met you. I was with Jack and we was in the city. And he loved you, bro. He was just like, man, this is my dog. And then I had met you in the city. And then from there, you know what I'm saying, man, you locked in. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, I met Jack, man, out in like Miami. I want to say my second year in the league, just randomly going into a nightclub. And he had the Jack Artist album, I guess, just came out. And he had some CDs with him. And he handed me the CD. And then he was like, where you from? I said, I'm from the Bay, man. I know who you are, bro. He was like, oh, shit. Yeah, man, tap. He gave me his number. It was like, wasn't even about, like, you know, any rap shit. It was just like, tap in with me whenever you're back in California. You know, we'll link up. And then we just kept in touch the whole time, man. He would invite me to come out, chill in the studio. And then when I signed with the 49ers, man, I started just, you know, plugging in with tickets. We'd go out to dinner afterwards, chop it up. He would still invite me to the studio. And then one time he was like, man, get in the booth, bro. He threw me in the booth. We just started retorting. You know, he put me on tracks with Selsky. He put me on with a bunch of cats, bro. And it was just like, wow, like, I never thought I'd be in the studio with these dudes, man. So Jack was just, man, that was my brother, man. I really miss that dude, man. And definitely introduced me to some solid individuals, man. He kept a good group around him, so... R.I.P. to Jack, man.
Sure.
But yeah, man. So that was back. You was going by La Rue at that point. When did you make the transition from La Rue to Hit a Slim?
You're right. I was going by La Rue as an artist, and then and actually after Bruh died, you know, me and Bruh had a couple albums together, and I felt like we had a sound and we had a chemistry. So when Bruh passed away, I really couldn't find a pocket no more. I wasn't comfortable in that lane no more. You know what I'm saying? I felt like it was something missing. I felt that something was missing. I couldn't carry on with it. You know what I mean? So I kind of let the rapping go, bro. But of course, I still, you know, was deeply, especially in this region, and you know, my fan base was still out there. But I just couldn't find a way.
Oh, we lost him again. Clap, clap. Okay, he back.
Is that my phone doing that or what?
I don't know.
Yeah, you keep going in and out. I don't know what it is.
Oh, y'all can't even hear me?
Well, we can hear you now. Yeah, but you just completely left the chat, but then you just came back in, so we good.
Oh, but while I've been talking, you guys hear me the whole time, right?
Yep, and then you just faded out right when you were talking about you were saying you were rapping for a little while, and then you
I stopped rapping because I just wasn't comfortable after Brett passed away. So but I love music, so I was like, I'm gonna go into the DJing. I had a passion for DJing too. I was like, this is the thing I want to venture off into. So shout out DJ Juice, because DJ Juice was like my teacher. He came. And I went and bought a controller from Guitar Center. DJ Juice came through and he taught me like spin for spin on what to do. And I practiced and I practiced and I practiced. And then there was a tour coming up, an E40 tour. So I was like, you know, I'm going on tour as a DJ. It was a 30-day tour. I didn't touch the mic not one night. So my first live DJing was 2,000 people in the crowd. And I'm like, oh shit. So I jumped out there. I rocked every night. I did all the opening acts and I was doing the intermissions. I was out there rocking. So during the DJing process, I learned a different side of the music that I didn't understand. When you make music just as a rapper, your expectations is, oh, I recorded it, I made this song, people supposed to like it. But when I was DJing, I realized that the music that I had, I could have played my shit all night, but my shit didn't fit the format to rock this part. So I was playing the bangers. I was playing I Going On. I was playing the records that moved the party to keep people partying. So once I got off a tour, I got back. And even artists, because I was showing all the artists love, like, man, send me some bangers out. Let me pick through a couple songs. So when they were sending me records, they'd send me like 3 or 4 records. I'd be like, nah, I can play this one. So I knew what kind of format I wanted to play to rock a party, whether it was a new artist, whatever artist it is. I know what I'm going to be comfortable playing and not look cheesy up here as a DJ playing hella whack music. So when I came back, I had a different understanding of the kind of music that I would play as a DJ. So when I came back, I reached out and I hit like all new producers, send me new slaps. So they loaded me up with hella new music. And I found this producer. He was out of Denver. He was out of Colorado. And not Denver. He was out of Colorado. And you know, I went through my email. I listened to all the different producers. I found a couple, but it was just one. I was like, man, this dude making some shit. You know what I'm saying? And when I'm listening to it, I'm like, damn. And so I reached out to him and he was like, oh man, what's up, man? It's nice to meet you. You know, it was all love. He was humble. He was genuine. And I was like, bro, I'm gonna fuck with some of your beats. So I heard the Hog Beat. His name is Mac Menace Beats.
Oh, okay. Mac Menace, yep.
Mac Menace Beats. So he made the Hog record. So I heard the Hog record and I was like, damn, this motherfucking Hog. And when I'm listening, if you listen to that song, I was really vibing the beat. Like, I was like, this is Booty Water. So picture, you know, I'm listening to the song and I'm like, this is too short. That, you know, I was just listening to it and it made me think of all different things. I wasn't trying. I was just making a song that I thought was, you know, saying I would play the DJ. And it was just fun. So then, I recorded the record, and then I had a 40 had a studio session. So I slid through 40 session And it was like in the wee hours, it was like 2 a.m. now, you know, 40 had him a couple drinks, you know, it was the session was winding down, you know, it was perking all this. And I was thinking to myself, like, damn, I wanted him on the record, but I knew he was like perking. I was like, no way I'm gonna get a verse on my OG right now. So I just tapped him, was like, hey, Water, can you do some ad-libs for me? And he kind of woke up and was like, oh, okay. So I had already sent the song to the engineer, Miggy. Miggy pulled the record up and it came on. Whoa, whoa. 40 woke up like, wait, what is this? You feel me? So he hopped on there, did it. And then said, I was with DJ LaRue. That didn't really ring to me. So I was I came with DJ Hit a Slim. So with the record, I had the Hog record. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to just keep the DJ, the Hit a Slim. But I was like, you know, I'm going to drop the DJ and just come with the Hit a Slim. You know? So I just ran with it like that, really, as a DJ. And then it just transitioned over into me being an artist again, because then I created, like, you know, with that song, I was just kind of just playing, bro. I wasn't taking it hella serious, trying to be hella lyrical and trying to gas hella hard and be this rapper. I wasn't even doing that. I was just having fun. So it was a different creative space for me. And I was like, damn. So then when I dropped it, it did 500,000 like off the rip. And I'm just like, damn. I just had some fun with people fuck with. So I really need that record and really try to crowd people like that. And when I peaked, I was like, oh, I know what's from. So I realized what they want from me. And then from that, I was just like, oh, okay. I just hopped in that lane and I started making a couple more records. I started building a team, directors, producers, you know, audio. And I just got people around me and I was like, hey, look, I'm getting back in this game. Are y'all willing to ride with me, build with me, and grow with me? We're going to do this, do that. And I created a team of solid individuals, bro. And it just, you know, just kind of start working. You know, people kind of gravitated to it. It was a breath of fresh air. I kind of changed my lane. Like, I don't talk about no gun violence or, you know what I'm saying? I don't offend nobody. I realize there's so many things. I mean, it's still some street shit. You don't know you on the streets. But there's so many different elements of the streets. Like, somebody don't always got to be offended. You know what I'm saying?
Right. But, yeah, I remember you even telling me, man, like, because I peeped, you know, like, your beat selection is, you know, like, you definitely know how to pick beats. And I think you were just like hearing you talk about the DJ process, listening to, like, you know, now what the audience wants to hear. You kind of know, like, just from that other side of the music to, like, okay, now, you know, you was even telling me, like, at one point, like, you need more up-tempo beats. You need something that they could play in the club. Like, it's cool to have music you could just ride to. But, you know, if you really want to make it, you got to have them club bangers. So
yeah, and when I say a club banger, it don't have to be like you talking about popping bottles and all that. Right. It just got to be in a tempo that a person could that make a person want to move some type of way. Like, you know what I'm saying? I realized, like, I'm gonna make music that's gonna make you hit this jackhammer or give you a certain bounce. You know what I'm saying? Make people want to do something. Make people, you know what I'm saying? If you're just sitting there, you know what I'm saying, just, you know, I don't want people to hear my music and meme mug and get mad and do that. I mean, that's how I used to do. There's nothing wrong with it. I'm not knocking it. But you know what I'm saying? I feel like even with a lot of the music that's out right now, a lot of the music is real violent. And that comes from the history of this shit. So I get it and I'm not knocking it. But it's like at some point, it's like, you know, like I got the little homies who you know, they approach me all the time. I give them all the game I can give them. And I listen to the songs and it's like, you know, I tell them, like, bro, like, you got 16 songs right here and somebody died on every song, bro. So we got to, there's no shock value in it no more. Back in the day when you had N.W.A. and Tupac and all these different people, there was shock value in hearing that type of shit. Like, oh, shit, did you hear what he said? But it's like now everybody running with the same trend. There's no shock value in me hearing you all the shit you did to, you know, so it's no shock value in it no more. Right.
Right. Right. I feel that.
So, you know, it's just finding that balance, you know.
Yeah, well, that comes from experience too, man. I mean, you are definitely a veteran in the rap game, and you know, you've been through your transitions, obviously, from being high school to what you did, you know, with AWOL, and then after going independent, I know you did some collabs with like Lil Rick, and then you went to the DJ route. And so another thing I want to ask you about is, I mean, I know the name Hitta Slim, but I know you went through like a health transition too, right? Where you kind of got your weight down, you started eating differently. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, man. That's a whole nother. It's a man. How much time we got? It's a whole. That's another transition I made as far as with the health thing, because, you know, just over the years, like just living the hip hop life back with Jack and all that, you know, we all packed on a lot of weight, bro. And it was just like that just came with a part of getting older and late night meals and, you know, getting high, doing this, doing that. And it was just like, it started taking a toll on me, bro. My blood pressure was through the roof. You know, it was just a lot of stuff happening. I couldn't bear, I stopped breathing in my sleep. It was a lot of health issues that I started having. And I'm going to these doctors and they like, hey, bro, like, this ain't good. Here goes some blood pressure medication, this, that, and the other. You know, it was just a lot of shit I was going through. And eventually my doctor was like, look, man, here's this, you need to follow these eating regimens, man. You need to get on this, because if not, eventually you're going to die. This is not, you know, this health ain't it. So I took heed, man, and I took it serious. And then once I started getting on the path of with my eating and things like that, I cut out meat. I cut out all animals. I had to give up something. And once I did that, the weight started falling off, bro. They say, you know, I got too little. You know what I mean? Because I was so disciplined and so deep in my discipline, to where, you know, I realized, like, damn, I stopped liking food. Like, I only eat when I know I need to eat something. Like, it was days I realized, I was like, damn, wait, I didn't even eat. So then I had to just get back on track and find that balance and find that medium. And then once I did that, it was like, you know, the weight came back. I got to a comfortable size. But the excitement of losing all that weight had me extremely excited, bro. I'm not going to lie. I'm wearing shit that I always wanted to wear. I'm jumping. I'm skipping. I'm dancing. I'm having a ball, genuinely. I'd be fronting if I said that I didn't see, like, all these low-ass clothes motherfuckers wearing. And I wanted to wear that shit one day, too. You dig what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I took full advantage and had a fucking blast. I'm still having a blast. I ain't gonna lie, bro. It's great to be able to go in a store and shop at these stores I could never shop at. I was shopping big and tall, bro. And that's fine. Whatever is your level. But, you know, just I came in the game as a little dude. And then I lost all my discipline living the rap life and doing all that. And it took a toll on me, bro. So I had to really, you know, get my discipline in order to get myself back in a comfortable place. You know what I mean?
Yes, sir. Health is wealth. Health is wealth.
Surely. At the end of the day, when I really realized that, I realized the real happiness is when you're comfortable in your skin. You can have all the money in the world and fuck around and fall over and be sick as fuck. And it's just like, bro, it's just, you know, a lot of it that I thought mattered didn't really matter. You know what I mean? I realized what real wealth is and what real happiness is. People always told me health as well, bro, but I didn't really realize it until I really got to experience. You know what I'm saying? Everything changed. Once I got that weight off me and my confidence level changed. I was light on my feet. I'm moving right. I'm feeling right. I'm not sluggish. I'm not tired. I can't sleep more than 5 hours. You know what I'm saying? It's like everything, my whole body changed. You know what I'm saying? I got a lot of people out there who don't even know about my whole LaRue history. Like, they don't even know who LaRue is, and that's fine. If you don't know, I don't run around carrying that. Restarted and started a whole new career and was like, hey, I'm not gonna. At first, I was gonna put LaRue Presents Hitta Slim because I was holding on to something. Then I realized, like, bro, if I'm talented and I'm what I say I am, it's the talent that should bring me to the forefront. I'm trying to carry all this old shit. It's like it's over for that. I'm blessed for my catalog. My catalog is there, but I'm starting anew. So there's a lot of my fan base that don't even know nothing about the LaRue shit. You bring any of that up, they're like, what's that?
Yeah. But that's cool, so, man, because what you're doing now, I mean, I think it's got more impact, and we live in a time where you could do more with your artistry. And so I think you can, you know, I think it's a great evolution to where you are now. And just seeing what you're doing with the Jackhammer Trends, with all the different stuff you're coming out with the cool I'm out, you know, all the stuff you're doing, man, you gotta be active too.
Yeah.
You know, we're getting old. So
I'm having fun, bro.
Word, man.
Keeping it positive and having fun, my brother.
That's what it's about, man. All right. Well, hey, we're getting to that part of the show. I wanted to ask you a couple other questions just real quick before we get into the rundown. Are you a Raider or a Niner fan or both?
I'm really both, but I definitely, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm both, bro. I just like all the Bay teams, bro. I support all the Bay teams. So I'm not like one of the ones that's like, you know what I'm saying? Because the Raider fans is diehard Raider fans and the Niner fans is diehard Niner fans. But I really just support the Bay, bro. What? You know what I'm saying?
Okay, so Slim, since the Raiders left, would you still root for them?
I still root for them, but now, of course, I got to lean on the Niners. So I'm definitely going to say I'm a Niner.
Mm. And then what about the Warriors and Sac? Like the LA Kings or obviously the Warriors?
I'm definitely a Warrior, and I ain't no question. I can't, you know what I'm saying? I ain't never been into the Sacramento Kings. Nothing but love for the Sac and the Kings, but I'm a Warrior for sure.
Okay, what about A's and Giants?
I got to go with the Bay on that one.
Both?
Yep.
Word. Did you play any sports coming up in high school?
Or was coming up, yeah. Coming up, bro. I was bro on every sport, bro. I was playing. I was playing soccer, bro. I was playing basketball, baseball. I played Duvernay. I played for the Blue Devils. I was rocking, but you know, it's just having that support system behind me to push me in it. I never had that, so you know, I didn't pursue it, and then took other routes and all that type of stuff. You know,
what's your favorite? If you had to pick any,
I love baseball.
Yep. That's a dying sport, man. So good on you for liking it.
Hit it. Let's go.
I play shortstop and I play center field. I was out there.
Shortstop's a jam, man. Like, that is a rough position. I mean, outfield's rough too, but you got to be on like everything for shortstop. You got to be like
I was climbing all over it. I was digging that ball out the ground. I was center field and I was shortstop all day.
So I talk about baseball being a dying sport only because, like, unless you grew up with baseball and unless you grew up with that love with, like, you know, your parents, like, really loving it or something like that, like, this, like, new generation, it's really rough to, like, get them. Do you have, like, any advice maybe for, like, the reason why you love baseball so much and why it, like, applied to you so much, and maybe that way the MLB can maybe use that as like a.
I just love the hand eye coordination and just being able to, you know, it's just the athleticism, like, you know what I'm saying? Like football, I played football, but I was quarterback. I'm keeping real with football. I kind of backed out the shit because, you know, it was so much a contact sport. I ain't gonna lie. I'm keeping when I was playing, you know what I'm saying? For one, I was playing quarterback, and you know, I always had a mouth on me. I'd talk hella shit, hella competitive, and motherfuckers would be trying to smash me. And one time I got smashed hella fucking hard. And I was like, bro, I'm cool. It was a white boy too. He smashed me so fucking hard. He had me reconsider my whole shit. I was like, I never want to get hit like that again. You know, because I was running and he was at me. I had to take the hit. I tried to, you know what I'm saying? I went head up and I was like, good.
You're awesome.
It's okay. Right before he comes back, he can edit all this, like, in and out and stuff. So, okay. But
it's like my shit is on a timer after every certain amount of time. And just go off.
I don't know why I do that. But we got.
Well, that's weird. Well, we're almost done. So do you want to go? Maybe we can, like, cut you to the rundown.
Yeah, we're going to edit it too, but. Yeah, that's crazy about the football thing too. You're the second rapper that told me that. I was chilling with the game one time down in LA, and he said, I asked him if he played football. He's like, yeah, man, I was a wide receiver, and one time I went up to catch the ball And this dude hit me so damn hard. And I like did a flip, landed on my head. And I literally just walked off the field like, fuck this shit. I ain't never doing this shit again.
Yeah, bro. I took a hit so hard. I went head up with him, bro. Like, you know, and bro, I was done. I said, I ain't never doing that ever again. I'm cool. This ain't for me. You know what I'm saying? Because with the football, I felt like I wanted the least contact as possible. So I was running to the quarterback shit, but then they was trying to kill me.
Yeah.
So I was just like, damn, bro. Like, I'm cool, bro. That's too much. That's why I respect TBC. He out there, you know what I'm saying, clashing. I'm cool, bro. Like, you know, that's a real contact sport.
Yeah, it takes a special breed to want to play football.
You know?
Yeah, you got to be a little crazy. But, yeah, that's what's up, man. Well, hey, you know, I think we got through a lot of good stuff. You know, we talked a little bit about your career, about you know, your regimen and health. We talked a bit about your sports, being in the Bay Area. So I think, you know, we'll get into the rundown right now. And then I just want you to do a little, you know, if you can maybe shout out some of these projects or anything you got working on. Because anybody listening, man, you go check out Hit a Slim, man. You won't be disappointed. The boy got slaps on deck. So
hey, right on, my brother. I appreciate that.
So, you know, I'm definitely a fan. You know, I'm your friend, you know, brother, you know, and we definitely... We were working on an EP at one point. We may need to revisit that.
Hey, for real, man. Hey, we got some bangers, TBC. You know, we got some stuff in the cut.
So, you know, let's not let it collect too much dust, man.
You know I'm with you, brother. Whatever you want to do, you know I'm with you.
All right, that's what's up, man. Well, cool, man. Let's go ahead and get into the rundown. With no further ado, first question. Everybody gets this question. Would you rather be a bird or a fish?
Bird, for sure.
Bird.
I told you, ain't nobody trying to be a fish, but it's whatever. It's cool. Hey, it's cool.
Everybody want
to
fly, man.
Everybody want to fly. It is what it is.
It is what it is. That's what's up.
Let me be a bald eagle, man. I'm. You know what I'm saying?
Don't be endangered. I mean, they're beautiful. Have you ever seen a bald eagle fly? They're gorgeous.
Hell yeah, and they swooping down.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
With those talons,
they be picking up like deer and shit.
I'm picking up foxes and all type of everything. You feel me? Wolves and hella crazy shit.
That might need to be your next. You know, like a you got like a gator, like a hog, like a what's the other one? Like yeah. A spider, like an eagle, baby. Let's go.
Hey, you know my new one. My next album coming out is hunting like a leopard.
Like a leopard.
Yes, sir. So I got hogging in the dog lane. Yeah, I got biting like a gator, crawling like a spider, creeping like a wolf, charging like a bull, hunting like a leopard.
Mm. My man bringing the zoo out. Let's go.
Yeah. You know, okay. It's just my lane, bro. It's just my lane, man. You know what I'm saying?
I like it, man. That's great. That's great branding, man. Good for the brand. All right. Next question. Would you rather give up social media or eat the same dinner for the rest of your life?
No, I'm going to eat the same dinner because I'm already a repetitive eater. I'm a repetitive eater. I'm not, you know what I'm saying? You know, I don't live to eat no more. You know what I'm saying? I eat to live. So I eat the same thing every day because I'm not eating it for, oh, you know, I experience health issues worrying about, oh, I got to taste this. Oh, I had this the other day and I don't want to take. Nah, I eat the same meal every day. I'm a very repetitive eater.
What do you repeatedly eat?
I eat some avocado toast. I do egg white, I eat egg whites with sliced avocado, sliced tomato. I'm real repetitive. I make a little small salad. Mm. I just eat light. I'm not a heavy eater. Go ahead.
Do you intermittent fast? Because that's what I'm doing right now. I've like on and off done it, and it's great.
Yeah, sometimes like right now, I'm actually I just started one. So sometimes I'll do a no chew. Like right now I'm doing a no chew. So I'm not going to chew nothing for 5 days. So if I got to chew it, I can't eat it. So I'm going I'll have a smoothie. Maybe I drink some water, but I'll do a no chew. So, you know, so yeah, so that's a real good, a body toner too. So, you know, right now, I'm on a no chew next 5 days. Nothing I got to chew.
I heard of that, man. You might have to write a little diet book or something, bro.
Yeah, man. Yeah, bro. I give it to a lot of my peoples, and a lot of my people take heed. And, you know what I'm saying? Because, you know, us, you know, once we start getting, you know what I'm saying, up in age a little bit, man, we really got to pay attention, man. You know what I'm saying? Like I said, people spend all their time chasing money and doing all that. That's great and all that. But if you can find that balance to take care of your body too, man, watch what you're putting in your real vehicle. You know what I'm saying? You ain't going to put no motherfucking 87 in your Bentley. But you'll put this low grade shit in your body. That's your real vehicle. So we just gotta just be focused on that.
Okay. Next question. Couple more. Would you rather be able to read someone's mind or control their mind?
I want to read it. I want to read it.
Okay.
Any reason why?
Because then it gives me the up, because then I would, you know what I'm saying, be able to read it, and I would already know their next move versus, you know, because then I can play. It's like being able to play dominoes and see somebody's hand.
Okay.
But I'm gonna play it off of the knowledge that I already know. I know what you're thinking, and I can read your mind, so I'm gonna play it off of that.
Okay, I can feel that. Okay, a couple more, and then we get to the moment of truth. This one's a little more comical. Would you rather find a $100 bill floating in the toilet or a $20 bill on the ground?
Well, it depends on what's in the toilet with it. You know what I'm saying? So it's a tricky one. Because, you know, hey, I mean, you know, shit, give me the hunt done.
Just go rinse that thing off real quick, right?
Man, I'm like, come on, what?
Wait, can you use gloves to get the hunt up?
As long as I ain't got to use my bare hand, I'm going to use all kind of shit. I'm getting that hunt done.
Get that hunt done, then. Hey, all money ain't good money, but $100 is $100, you know?
That's you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Amen.
All right. And then I'll hit you with one more question. Let's see. Let's do this one. Let's do. Would you rather? Nah, I don't want to hit you with that one. How about this one? Would you rather be born in the past or born in the future?
I would say the past.
Even with the color of your skin?
I mean, well, it depends on how far in the past we're talking, just as long as it's after slavery.
I'm just saying it wasn't great pre-slavery, and it wasn't great till, like, you know, we've come a long way.
I mean, but, you know, I still look at it like, you know, in the past, like in the 80s and, you know, stuff like that, especially in the 80s, a lot of, you know, like our parents and stuff like that, they had a lot more opportunity. Property was cheaper. You know, depending on what your focus is, there was a lot more opportunity to own half of this shit. So,
I mean, I guess you'd have to know, right? Would you be given the ability to know everything that happened in the future if you were born in the past?
Well, no, obviously you just gotta, you know, because we obviously don't know what's gonna happen in the future, but you know it's gonna be a lot different in the past. Although history does repeat itself, but, you know, like he just talked about, you know, values and, you know, the cost of living and all that kind of stuff. It was a lot easier to maneuver. Plus, just values in general. I think the value system people are, you know, kind of pulling away from what we were raised, you know, from our days coming up. A lot of that stuff is getting lost in the mix. So, you know, principles and stuff, I think, were a lot stronger back in the day. But we don't know what the future holds, you know? We don't know. So
all right.
I agree with that one.
So all the right. past. Okay.
the past. So here we go. The moment of truth for Hit a Slim. If you could perform at any venue, any major stadium, sellout show, where would it be? And give me five artists, dead or alive, that you would put on the docket with you on the flyer to perform.
I would go with you know, something futuristic. I want to rock in Vegas at that new stadium.
Mm. Oh, at Allegiant.
Yeah, I rock at the new stadium, because I've done the Coliseum, of course, but I would do the new stadium in Vegas, and of course I got to see Drizzy rock. I have him on there if I could. I would go with Drizzy. I would have Lauryn Hill up there.
That'd be tight.
I would have who else would I have?
Drizzy, you mean Drake, right? You talking about Drake?
Yeah, I would have Drake up there. I would have Lauryn Hill up there. I would have who else would I throw up there?
Dead or alive?
Well, I mean, of course, Pac. I would throw Pac up there for surely.
There you go. Okay.
I had a Jack up there.
Hmm.
You dig what I'm saying? I had Jack up there. And then I'll send him out on some Sade.
Hey, shout out to Sade.
I'm actually loving this lineup. I wish that we could have Pac back so we can actually make this happen.
That'd be
I love this. So
Pac and Jack on the same stage? Wow.
So Pac, Jack, Sade, Drake, you dig what I'm saying?
That's a crazy
Love this lineup.
Lauryn Hill.
Yeah, oh, I love it. I love this whole entire, like, every person that you said, I love it. I wish that we could actually make it happen.
No, hey, you know,
they got holograms, you know, but hey, you know, speaking into existence. And then Vegas is all, I haven't been to that stadium yet, but I've heard great things. Plus you in Vegas for the after party, so. Yeah, that would be wild, bro.
No.
That'd be wild. That's what's up, man. Okay. All right. Yeah. Well, hey, that's our show. Any quick shout outs you want to give or anything you want to promote in terms of upcoming projects that we can look forward to?
Man, be on the lookout. I just dropped this project called Black Ice with Trax FDR. That's available now. That came out about maybe about a week and a half ago. Then, of course, I got this Hunting Like a Leopard. I'm filming. I'm dropping. I'm just staying consistent, man, trying to keep it going, you know?
Word. Word. Okay. Well, we'll be on the lookout, man. And obviously, we're going to hit that TBC, Hit a Slim EP coming, too.
So you better know it. You better know it. Let's go. Happening.
All right, man. Well, I appreciate you coming on, man. We'll definitely try to get you back in the future. And good luck with everything you got going. I'll definitely stay in touch with you, brother.
Hey, thanks for having me, bro. Y'all have a good one, okay? Appreciate you.
You nice too. Thank you so much, Slim. It was wonderful to meet you.
Okay, now. All right, y'all. Peace. Thanks.
All right. Peace. Should I hit him? Should I split him? Should I get him? You should just finish. Roll with him. Then I sit him down. Get up now. Click it. Get him. Mac and